Hello?
Hello?
I can't see you. I can't see you.
Oh, no. Sorry. Hang on. Wait. There we are.
Yeah, I preferred it the other way, actually, thinking about it.
You're such a...
Welcome, everybody, to episode 311 of the Mid-Faith Crisis Podcast. My name's Nick Page. There, fully visible now. Master of Technology, Joe Davis.
Hello. Yes.
Well, I mean, I say fully visible. You can't see him, listener. And believe me, it's better that way.
It is. It's better for everyone.
Well, hello. Here we are. Shall we begin with some church notices, as is the norm?
Yes. Well, if you are an Enneagram 4 type or you know an Enneagram 4 type and want to know more about them, then we're having another day with Ali Mail at our house on Saturday, the 18th of January. That's down in Worthing. So if you're able to come along, probably be about 10 to 4. There's normally some delicious soup thrown in for good measure. If you want to reserve a place, send me an email, joe@midfaithcrisis.org. We'd love to see you there. I think that's it.
Thank you. Yes. I have a church notice.
Go on.
Which is that there will be no podcast next week.
Oh, shocking.
As I have to go to have a thing, a camera shoved somewhere. I don't know if it's going down my throat or up the other end, but it's not. Wherever it's going, I don't want to
find out beforehand.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping they've mastered it. But to be honest, I'm scared whichever end it's going.
I was
going
to say, do you have a preference?
No, my preference is to go to the pub. But
Thanks, that's cheered me up. Thank you.
So, oh, good. I'm glad my suffering has cheered you up.
Yeah, it does.
So talking of which, how are you?
I'm miserable. Which, ironically, I watched the film Joy on Netflix, which is very interesting, about the first IVF baby. Highly recommend that. Yeah, really good. Very fascinating, interesting film. But now on the whole, still got a cold. That's week three. And now I'm starting to get fed up with it. And I had my COVID jabs and I feel a bit bluesy after that. And funerals have been tough recently. I seem to have done a lot of people younger than me. I just did a really big, just come back from a really big one today. And the guy was just about to retire. And, you know, all the retirement planning was in place. And it's just, that really gets to me.
Seems cruel, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's a year ago today that I sort of went to see my brother in Mexico, which was an especially depressing visit, frankly. So I think there's just a lot of things that I'm trying to be all joyful and Christmassy, but I just can't crank it up. We'll talk about that later, because I blame you for this. I think it's your responsibility to personally make me feel more Christmassy somehow. So if you can sort that out, I'd really appreciate it, mate.
Crikey, if you're relying on me to make you feel more Christmassy, you're in real trouble.
That's the wrong way. Anyway, how are you, friend?
Well, I mean, let me cheer you up by asking you a few questions.
Yes.
Do you have central heating?
Yes.
Do you have a car that's functioning?
I do, yes.
Are you going to have a camera inserted into any orifice?
Not unless I pay extra money, I presume.
Well, then cheer up, mate.
Thanks.
Welcome to my week.
So, come on.
Well, you know, the Monday morning, the central heating stopped working.
Oh, no.
And
well, that makes change.
And there was a fault on the car. I don't think it's anything major, but it's just like I've just had a week of things to fix, really. You know, I'm trying to be thankful about it.
Well, try harder, if I may suggest that tip.
Okay, great. But I'm quite tired with it all. Get tired of things to fix, don't you? Life is just an endless round of things that need fixing. And yeah, actually, I think repairing stuff is what something I want to talk about later. So, you know, I don't know. I feel a bit tired. However, good stuff. Yes, we have central heating back now, and Claire has gone to pick up the car, and it's all good. It's all good, really.
Rejoice.
It's just been a bit of a wearing week, really. And watch Ludwig.
Oh, good. Wasn't that fun?
Really enjoyed that. Yeah, great fun. Yeah, really good. I mean, totally ridiculous, but great fun.
Just and, 2 months behind the rest of the world in true fashionably late style.
Well, that's quite good for me. Yes. I'm about 5 years at least behind the rest of the world. And in fact, with no intention of ever catching up either. That's the other thing. Exactly. But yeah, so yeah, it's been a week of challenges, if I'm honest, and anxieties. Mm. But it's good to be at this end of it. And trying to focus on more joyful things, I suppose, really.
Well, let's take it all out on the 17, why don't we?
Shall we? Yes, because I think that's what people tune in for, isn't it?
Exactly. You may be feeling too cheerful.
Having the Saturday morning coffee or whatever you're listening to, this and enjoying the world, and then these two old gits come along.
Well, listen, thank you to everyone who wrote in following last week's episode, actually, where we sort of ranted a little bit, you in particular.
Thank you.
But it seems people quite like you having a good rant. That's what I'm taking from this. So,
For people's kindness. I did worry about it because you always worry, have I said the right thing or, am I being ungenerous or what's the deal here? But, I just felt I was among friends. Oh, no, I've fallen into your trap of viewing the listeners as friends.
You've done it. Then there it is. The transformation is complete.
Absolutely. Introvert nightmare.
I knew this day would come. That's all we've got time for, folks. Thanks.
You're going to leave it. That's the end of the podcast, isn't it?
Let's move on. We've had some good feedback in. And listen, before I get going, let me say, we've had some really good feedback in. And we go, we're saving this for next week. And now we've been saving these ones for so long. What we're going to do is pick up the themes that are in those emails at a later date. And let's face it, it may well be 2025 by the time we do that. But just to say, if you have taken the time to write in, we haven't read it out, that doesn't mean we're not going to ever. Just want to reassure you there. But anyway, feedback. John wrote in and says, hi, Joe and Nick. And then he talked about how much he enjoyed the Martin Joseph interview. And he says, I'm currently on a Christian dating app, in brackets for my sins, and often send people liberal backslider fairly early on in our interactions, as I've found it's a useful shorthand depending on how the other person reacts. If they find it funny, intriguing, or identify with it, that's probably a good sign. If, however, they get cross, defensive, or just don't get it, there probably isn't much of a future there. And that's from John. He says, P.S. Perhaps a branch off of the runaway success of the soon-to-be Mid-Faith Crisis home group could be MFC Singles.
Oh, gosh. Yes, I think that's stretching it a bit, John. I mean, the home group will be enough, let alone some kind of dating service. But I like the idea of a litmus test
to
start with.
Yes, I do. And what better than a liberal backslider? Fantastic. Okay, Rachel wrote in, and she said this. She said, it was interesting to hear your thoughts on social media recently and the encouragement to switch off or switch over from the things that do not help us or cause us to be overwhelmed. I had come across this meme a while ago, and she sent the picture of it. But basically, it's a woman who says to an octopus, like Instagram logo, thank you for ruining my life. And then the Instagram octopus replies, I'm literally an algorithm designed to maintain your attention by learning from your behaviour and mirroring back that which consciously or not captivates you and the social worlds through which you move. I'm literally one of the most fascinating tools for collective and personal shadow work ever created. That is only if you can learn to recognise that you aren't disturbed by social media, you're disturbed by your own reflection. Ooh, get that. That's a reply and a half, isn't it? She says, it's an interesting thought, particularly as I presume many social media algorithms do look at what we engage with and then mirror back to us similar content and look at ways to monetize or politicize this too. I'm still pondering the last phrase of that meme, that it could be a tool for shadow work and that we are disturbed by our own reflection. And certainly if I consider human action collectively, global warming or poverty or many other issues, or the actions and inactions of institutions and systems, then I am disturbed by my own reflection. But I do like to think that we see signs of hope when we see others around us being kind and being present. Your and Nick's reflections on the podcast are themselves a sign of hope and were a helpful reminder of our own autonomy, the importance of music and joy, and that technology as a tool, as Nick mentioned for his blog, is more powerful than technology as something which distracts us from life's issues, pains and troubles, or prevents us being present to others around us. Thank you for pondering the big and little issues and inviting us into your conversations. And that's from Rachel.
Wow, it's got quite deep straight away,
isn't it? We've gone deep immediately.
We're about about 10 minutes in. We're normally still mucking about at this point.
Well, there you are. It's all down to the algorithms, and it's an opportunity for shadow work because they're reflecting who we are. Yes or no?
Well, so what do we mean by shadow work? What do you think that means?
Well, I think it's always taking the look at the side of us that we often don't want to look at. You know, that we all like our own good side, but every one of us has a side that is not so good. So, you know, if you're me, you spend your life avoiding that side. But if you're smart and intelligent, you engage with it, you own it, you acknowledge it, you integrate it into your persona. Well, not your persona, but I suppose you allow for the fact that you are this beautiful blessing of sinner and saint, and that all combines to make who you are, and not to be too ashamed of it, I think. So that people talk about shadow work as a really important part of us becoming whole human beings, you know, going into the shame that we feel, going into that side of our personality we perhaps don't like people to see or even want to acknowledge ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a Jungian kind of term, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly.
In dealing with your shadow. I think one of the interesting things is, we were talking about last week, it strikes me that a lot of churches as organisations never deal with shadow work.
Mm.
They don't actually want to look at the potential downsides of the way they operate, the dark side.
Well, their systems, yeah.
Yeah, and instead they sort of often sort of preach at Christians to be ashamed of their shadow side, which is true to a certain extent, but actually I think you've helped me in the past. You know, the things that we don't like about ourselves, the sin, for want of a better word, that we commit, you need to understand it. You can't just dismiss it.
Yes, exactly right.
I think it's a Richard Rohr phrase that says we should not let go of our sin until we've learnt all that it has to tell us.
Yes, exactly. Shouldn't move on from it.
I don't think he means carry on doing it. I think he means sort of look at it and understand it. So shadow work is that. I think, is the algorithm a genuine reflection, though, is my question about this meme. Because I don't think the algorithm is necessarily
a true reflection.
You know, the social media feed doesn't just mirror back your interests. It sort of magnifies them and then distorts them.
Yes, exactly.
And so it's not really like looking in a mirror. It's more like going to a fun fair where you go into one of those, hall of mirrors. Where they show you yourself, but in distorted and magnified ways.
Interesting,
And so I think that's the problem. If it was truly an algorithm that was dedicated to helping us understand ourselves a bit better, I would perhaps have more sympathy with it. However, I think this is a really good point about looking at your feed and saying, what is this saying about me? Who do I hate? You know, because I think that's the thing about social media, is it sort of pushes you, nudges you endlessly towards outrage and hate.
Mm.
You know, and I've been reading this book. You gave me this book called Almost Everything by Anne Lamott.
Oh, yeah.
I think you sent it for me. It was either a birthday or it was just one of my many times of despair and you couldn't bear listening to me anymore and sent me a book to shut me up.
Yeah, exactly. Just cheer up.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. She is wonderful. And she talks about hate in there. Yeah. And she talks about, if she allows herself to hate, she sort of becomes fused with people she hates. You sort of, it becomes this sort of symbiotic link. Because you're thinking about them all the time and you're thinking about what should happen to them all the time. And so we do become a kind of mirror of them in that way, as Rachel says in this email. And she wrote this piece, and I read it out. She says, I can't change them, so I pray. Bless them with nice retirement opportunities and change me. But while you're at it, help them not to blow up the entire world. Thanks.
Yes. I love Anne Lamott. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I think Rachel's got some really good points. I think if you could look dispassionately at it and take away the distortions, I could see it could have some use in that, I think, in the right context. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. Good insights. Okay, so let's move on. Karis said, "Dear Joe and Nick, I could probably write a thank you note to you most weeks, but this week, Joanne," she says, "you are so right about the sadness that seems to be endemic in the world at the moment. I too have dramatically cut down on my news consumption, but I'm feeling a bit guilty about it. I always thought that if somebody was living through horrendous, tragic circumstances, the least I could do was bear witness to it via the news. But at the moment, I just can't. Anyway, thank you for your very well-placed and articulate rant, Nick, and your clear, practical response to it, Joe. I actually applauded."
Oh, well, thank you.
"Suddenly the anger and profound unease that I had been feeling took on a shape and I started to understand better the fury within me. I particularly found your thoughts about systems helpful, Nick. Also, how ideas of God are distorted over time to mimic the world's priorities, which then in turn distorts the understanding of the work of God." Let's not open up that old wound, Karis. "So it's a serious business being in a position of leadership. Often the consequences of doing it badly or wrong are not felt by the leaders themselves, but by the most vulnerable, most marginalised people and the ones whose voice have been muted by being told too many times that others know best and are speaking for God. Thank you for much of the wonderful ray of sunshine that is your podcast." And that's from Karis. And then we had another email in on the same lines about, you know, how you deal with the news, from Ian, who then went on to sort of talk about his classification for thinking about news, you know, actual events with some relevance to him, which he does feel it's kind of good to know about and he might spend a bit of time. But then there's so much speculation about something that might happen or which won't happen. Yeah, yeah. You know, he tries to avoid that, and just celebrity gossip and all that's going on with that. And then he says, towards the end of it, he says, "Important things which do not affect me directly are the most difficult. I want to know about big events like the conflict in Palestine, but I'm aware that consideration of this tends to lead to either anti-Semitism or complete support for Israel. I don't feel that I need to come to any conclusions about the right or wrongs of this particular conflict, only to pray for peace." He says, well, that's he acknowledges he wasn't being particularly pithy, but he says, "Blessings to you both and best wishes for Christmas." And that's from Ian. So two emails there that are sort of just talking about this sort of complex area of how do we take in news? How much, which sort, where, how, all those kind of things.
Yeah, it is difficult. And I think Ian's right. You know, those the big events that we feel we should take an interest in are tricky. And I think that's also what Karis said at the beginning, you know, that if you end up feeling a little bit guilty about not, you know, not attending to them. Yeah. But I think there's got to be some way of dealing with that, because you're not God. You don't have to attend to anything. You don't have to have an opinion on everything. I think Ian is right on that as well. You know, there are certain things that are just so complex.
Yeah, yeah.
That actually an opinion on either side is not helpful. I mean, it's absolutely right to have an opinion on people inflicting suffering on other people.
Yeah, sure.
But there tends to be other things that we think, oh, we've got to know what we think on that. And I've sort of given up on that, because I realised that you can't really have an opinion on everything, and I don't want to burden myself with that, really.
Yeah.
And I think historically, you know, I do look at the news, and you look at the news and you think, oh gosh, we're in big trouble. And in many ways we are in big trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've always been in big trouble, actually. Yes. You know, everyone's always thought that. Yeah. I mean, as a historian of Revelation, for example, Book of Revelation, you know that everyone's always thought we're in the end times.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Every generation thinks they're in the end times.
Yeah. Everybody's always saying, you know, we're really in the end. I've heard it so much in my life.
Yeah, me too.
Over every decade of my life, somebody has said it's the end times.
Yeah.
And I prefer Rowan Williams' question is, what if we're still the early church? I like that one.
Yeah, that's great.
That sort of changes it. So, brilliant. How do you manage it? How do you manage to attend to the news and not get deluged by anxiety, fear, hopelessness, or the sense that you should be caring about it more than you're capable of?
Yes, I mean, I used to sort of trust the BBC a bit to do it for me, but I do wonder how much social media has influenced the BBC now. So for the last week, the top story has been, you know, celebrity gossip. I mean, it might it seems like a BBC presenter has been behaving inappropriately, and of course you don't condone that, but is that really the top priority for our news in the world? Is that the thing we should be spending all these hours considering and writing about and reporting on? I feel a bit suspicious of that, really. Feels a bit self-indulgent of the BBC as well, to be honest.
Well, you know, I think that I'm a big defender of the BBC. I think the BBC is amazing. And St. Joni of Mitchell wrote, ain't it always been the way you don't know what you've got till it's gone? So you be careful what you wish for.
People who
wish for the demise of the BBC. But I think, yeah, I don't know. It does seem a little bit out of proportion in some respects. Again, you say that, but then you don't want to minimise people's upset or anything like
you
that.
You don't, but it's like the time a billionaire, drowned tragically on his boat. And that was the news for days and days and days. Meantime, hundreds of people were drowning, you know, migrants were drowned, trying to escape conflict and, you know, terrible lives in their home. And that isn't the news. And there's just something strange about how the news is prioritized for us, which I feel a bit uneasy about, but that's all I'm going to say about it.
You know, I think that's true, and I think you should probably limit your intake. I've certainly found that helpful, really. And the other thing that Caris raised was about the systems, talking about the systems, and of course they're all going to affect the news, I think. Because the news reflects what we're supposed to care about.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I have to think this with financial news that comes on, and we're supposed to care. More growth. Growth is down. I don't know what can I do about this? I don't know. Can I suddenly write more books? I don't think I can. You know, and I've been thinking a lot about that verse in Ephesians about how our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities and the all those things flying about or whatever they said they were.
That's the exact quote from Ephesians.
Yeah, something like that.
Because, powers of darkness and flying about things.
That's it. Yeah,
in the original Greek.
Because again, it links in with the hatred. I think news sort of wants to feed you people to hate.
Yes.
These days.
Yes, I do wonder that. Yeah.
And. I think we have to remind ourselves it's not the people, it's not the flesh and blood, but the systems, the authorities that are behind that.
Yeah.
The worldview, the contemporary worldview behind that verse saw this kind of systems as being the world under influences of powers that want to harm us, basically. Yeah. You know, and those are the systems we've got to fight. Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot about that. I like that one of the things that is interesting about that verse is that the Greek term, which is translated as battle, our battle is not against it, is actually a wrestling term.
Is it?
We struggle, we wrestle with it, and I think that's a great term. They should put that back in because these things are hard to get a grip on, aren't they? You know, they're like all oiled up, and we can't sort of get them. But I think that's the thing. You know, we're behind the news. What are the cultures and the attitudes and the prevailing beliefs and the assumed ways of operating? What's the operating system of humanity that is behind it? And how do we address that?
Yeah.
We can't fight it in the same way, can we? I think this is where the hatred thing is so important, because I was thinking about that phrase, you have to fight fire with fire. That's a really dumb phrase.
Yes, it's a particularly stupid phrase.
It's like, you know, the fire brigade come up to your house and it's burning. They go, lads, fetch the flamethrower. It's the only thing that's going to work here. You don't fight fire with fire. You fight it with flipping water, you know. And so I want to, if I read the news or hear the news, I've got to think, how do I respond in a way that can actually affect it? Mostly I can't affect it, but I can affect how I respond to it. And I have to kind of find a different way to do that. Anyway, lots to think about.
Well, there's lots. And I want us to shift gear, if I can put it that way, Nick, because we've revealed to the listeners that, you know, we're struggling a little bit at the moment. And we've also, you know, been talking about the news and how do we cope with it. So surely at this time of year, it's time to address the good elephant in the room, if I can put it that way, which is the good news. So let's change gear. Let's talk about some good news. I mean, I was just reminded this week, because I do forget, that the Advent candles are for hope, peace, joy and love. And I was thinking, well, crumbs, we all need that. Bit of hope, bit of peace, bit of joy, bit of love. That would be really good. And for me, you know, I think thinking about the incarnation at this time of year, even though that has changed changed for me, you know, certainly my theology has changed around that over the years. This is still really, really good news. In fact, can I start with this quote? Because I wondered what you would think of this. I'm not sure you'll like it, but I sort of do. And this is from Jim Palmer, who says, "In my view, traditional Christianity misconstrued the significance of the Jesus story in many ways. It starts with a core misunderstanding of the conception of God with Christian theism, namely that God and humankind are separated and estranged, and Jesus came to fix it. In my view, Jesus did not come to solve separation from God, but to demonstrate that no such separation ever existed." And I wondered what you'd make of that. I think I agree with him. Jim Palmer, for those that don't know, is a sort of expert in non-religious spirituality. He can sometimes come across as quite angry, but I think he always has some valid points to make. And I certainly think the more you look at the behaviour of Jesus, it does seem that he is announcing the inclusion of people within the kingdom of God. Sometimes he explicitly mentions repentance with that, but sometimes he doesn't. Mm. Sometimes it's just, "You're the thief on the cross. You're going to be with me in paradise." Sometimes it's, "You're the poor and the lame. You've been told you're on the outside." No, you're in the inside. Some of you people who've told your religion is not right or incorrect or theologically wrong, that makes you an outsider. No. The kingdom of God is available and open to you. Jesus was just sort of this, you know, dangerous, free with forgiveness of sins, free with inclusion. And that is good news. You know, he's good news for the little people, for the excluded, for the people who've been told they don't belong. Always, it seems to me, in the gospel. So, yeah, I just wondered how you feel about that and the idea that maybe we've got a lot of the our ideas about incarnation a bit wrong.
I don't disagree with that quote actually. Okay. Very much. I think I've argued for a while, we've done podcasts about it, that the nativity story is one of inclusion and not exclusion, you know, and that actually it's about Jesus being taken into the heart of a peasant home and not excluded to the garage behind the inn, as it's often sort of put.
Yeah.
Because there's no inn mentioned, in fact.
Sure.
So I think the tendency of a lot of biblical interpretation is to always look for an enemy, to look for a villain, because we love a villain in a story.
We do.
But I don't think that's what's happening in the nativity story. I think it's about God being with us, not separate. And I don't know about whether there was a separation, but there was a distance, perhaps, or a misdirection between humanity. Because repentance is about redirecting, isn't it? It's about turning around, basically. I don't think it's that we're separate from God, because you can't be separate from God in that sense. I think it's that we're kind of flailing around a bit sometimes, and that we're heading in the wrong direction. We're doing things that harm us and harm other people.
Yeah,
but we're not operating in a world where God has to sort of jet in, as it were, from outside, like, you know, do helicopter parenting.
Yeah,
sort of
sure.
Come down and sort things out and then fly off again.
Yeah.
I think Advent's a great thing to think about, because Advent, you know, the Latin Adventus, arrival, what I think to myself, what am I hoping to see arrive this time of year? And what we hope for is light and hope, I think. You know, a bit of hope, something in there. It's because I think the thing is, it's small. This is the other thing, that because of the strangeness of the nativity story, we forget how small it was.
Yeah.
How disregarded it was. You know, this is a peasant household in a small town in Judea. You know, this is like nothing. You know, even the Herod activity, which is often seen as sort of a big thing. No, it's just that would have been a minor thing on a tick list of atrocities that he's got to commit that day. You know, it's not a big thing for him from the power's point of view.
Right.
But we sort of magnify it and big it up. But I think it's what I'm trying to think about this year is the smallness of it and the quietness of it and the ordinariness, in a way, of it, of having to escape from tyrants and run away and flee, which is an ordinary thing, actually, for many, sadly, around the world. An intimacy to it, a quietness. That's the thing about the news. The news is all about big events, big bad events. And we've talked in the past about the world is full of small good events.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
That actually outweigh a lot of the big bad events, but you never hear about them because they're too small to be noticed. It's like dark matter. You know, the universe is apparently full of this dark matter. I think hope is the dark matter of the universe. I think there's much more of it than we think. We just don't get to see it because it's not reported.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I always think there's the way the media distorts everything for us is that you watch the news and then it's a small leap to go, the world's a terrible place. We must be living in the end time.
Yes, exactly. There we go.
But what if the world isn't a terrible place? Let's just challenge that assumption. What if the world is full of love? Literally billions of people waking up every day and the first thing they're doing is not picking up a gun and shooting someone. The first thing they're doing is loving the people around them, caring for their families, caring for their neighbours, caring for their communities. What if there's so much more love than anything else in the world? And I think that's true. And the media, unfortunately, distorts this and gives us a view of the world that it's such a terrible place, but there's still more love than anything else in the world. Why? Because, well, everything's created in the image of the divine, which is love. So, you know, it's not to deny the evil and suffering in the world in any way, but it's to put it in the context of love, of which there's much more.
Yeah, and I think because it's smaller and less noticeable, it's less flashy. That's the thing. You know, we like the big flashy things. You were saying, you know, that the billionaire sub story. I mean, part of the reason why that got so much traction is because they were going to see the Titanic, and it was a submarine, and it was a billionaire. Yeah, it's got all these flashy things to it.
Yeah.
These little, you know, it shimmers and it's shiny. Yeah. It's a shiny news story. It's a terrible story, but it's a shiny news story. So it makes us interesting. Whereas actually, the reality of life is the less flashy stuff.
And isn't it interesting to connect back to Advent that what you've just been saying is that actually this is not a flashy story. We've turned it into a Hollywood production. But the whole point of this season is that Jesus comes in a very unflashy manner.
Yeah, I think so. I think it just comes in an ordinary manner and small and quiet and unnoticed and by most people. You know, I mean, there are the people who notice, the magi and the shepherds and all that kind of stuff, but they're there to symbolise, I think, certain groups of people, really. I read this great essay this week by a writer with the unfeasible name of Tish Harrison Warren. I think I definitely need a bigger middle name in order to sort of qualify for that.
I'm going to guess they're American because they do.
Yes,
they do three names well. Americans.
It was a sort of series of things called. I think the series was about evangelicals in a diverse society. So it was trying to look at evangelicalism in America in the culture of diversity and how do you react to those. It's very interesting. And she wrote an article called Go Slow and Repair Things. And it's
that would
a response
have appealed to you.
Well, it's a response to the Zuckerberg, the social media thing, where I think it was Mark Zuckerberg whose mantra was move fast and break things.
Oh, really?
You know, it's a Silicon Valley thing. Move fast and break things. Big and flashy and smash things up. Blah, blah, blah. Look at this. And she does this whole essay about turtles and being protected and laying eggs patiently on the beach and people fighting for them. And it's all tiny and slow. And her mantra is go slow and repair things. And I think that's what I want to adopt at this time of year, this Christmas. I want to go slow and repair things. Because I can't go fast anyway. I'm not capable of responding to the news in a fast and flashy way. The most I can do is move slowly and move in my little area of love and see what I can repair and what I can rebuild and recognise the power that's in small things.
Well, thank you for that. So here's my question. For all of the 17 at 19 with you and me, who've been through the mid-faith crisis, who perhaps are struggling to engage with this season of Advent and what do we do and how do we feel Christmassy and all those sort of things, what would be one thing we could do? Just one thing, or even two or three things if you want, but you know, one thing we can do this week, practical, that would be in keeping for Advent, for this season, and for this season of our lives as well. What do you think?
Oh gosh, well, I could think of a few things that you could do actually.
Okay.
That would be small acts of reparation, of repairing things, really.
Okay.
I think you could phone someone. Just someone you've been meaning to talk to for a while, of an old friend you haven't contacted with, or maybe someone you've fallen out with even, or I don't know. But you could just pick up on relationships, really. Because I find in my life, relationships are the main source of joy, actually. Right. And I don't tend them enough. And so I think you could do that.
Well, I'm looking forward to your call.
You don't have to call everyone all the time. That's the thing. Just some people bring you down a bit because they're a bit gloomy. But anyway, and the other thing is, I find a cause you believe in and give something. Give some money to it.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah.
You know, something new. Give it away. Maybe it's turtles laying eggs on a beach. I don't know. It could be anything. Do you know, plant a tree. Do something. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But give something away. Do something slightly sacrificial and kind, if you can.
Yeah.
I think that would be really good.
I'm on it. Here's the really practical one. Pick up one piece of litter and put it in the bin from your street. Just one piece of litter. Just do it. Don't wait for the council to do it. They're stretched. You pick it up. Put it in a bin.
Mm.
It's just a good thing. It's a good thing to do. Create a better environment.
Yeah.
You'd expect me to say be kind to people, because everyone needs kindness, folks. So there we go. That's Joe and Nick's practical guide to Advent.
Or how about this? If you see a house that's got a big flashy wreath on the door outside, just go and steal it and put it on a house that doesn't have one. I think that would be fine.
You started well then.
Okay.
I was just
fighting the system there. I was fighting the system. It's redistribution of wealth in the form of wreaths.
Thank you, Nick Robin Hood Page. We appreciate your work.
Yes, that was a joke. Don't do that. This podcast does not condone theft, apart from all the lines and jokes we steal from other people.
Speaking of which, please, would you finish this podcast?
Yes, because I've been stealing people's time. So, thank you very much for listening, is what I normally say, and I don't see the reason to break with tradition. Thank you for listening. It's lovely of you to pay attention to us, even for a little while. Thank you to those who support the podcast. That's absolutely wonderful. We really appreciate that. Thank you to everyone who writes in. Thank you to those who recommend the podcast. All those are really ways of helping us out. So we're very appreciative. And if people do want to write in, they should write to
joe@midfaithcrisis.org, of course. Where else?
Yeah, we look forward to hearing from you. So as you're still a pastor, I believe.
By the skin of my teeth.
Yeah. It's a joy for all of us. Yeah, maybe you could end with a blessing for us. How about that?
Well, and here's a blessing for the 17. We cannot tell you enough how much we appreciate you. May this season of waiting and wonder bring you moments of peace, a renewed sense of hope, and maybe even some unexpected joy. May you find light in the darkness, warmth in the cold, and the quiet assurance that better days are on their way.